morning is found in Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 21 through 25. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whosoever has will be given more. Whosoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." This is the word of the Lord.
We continue with our study of the parables of our Lord, and we want always to remember that he was an itinerant preacher. And so he went about preaching and teaching. Recurring in his heart again and again were the themes most important to him. And so in more and more contexts, he spoke of the things that he longed for people to see. And we're looking at the most important parables. Even though there are 60 parables in the scripture, there are 10 that appear in all three gospels, all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're looking at those as the most important because the people writing the scriptures under the inspiration of the Spirit remembered these especially, and the Spirit of God inspired people to write them. Sometimes there are slight differences between the different accounts, not because someone got it wrong, but because it was spoken at a different occasion. And the Lord, looking at a different audience, made different emphases. And each one is wonderfully valuable to us. We're looking at one today that is most commonly remembered from Matthew, where it says, "You are the light of the world." But that theme was on his heart. And in Mark, the places we're looking at today, he's looking at people and calling them the light. It doesn't say you are the light of the world, but we see the same theme on his heart. And it's interesting in this passage that another theme that is in his heart as he reaches out to people is the fact that he that has shall be given more, and he that doesn't have, even what he thinks he has, is taken away. That was there in the other passage we looked at in the parable of the sower, that sense that there are those who have not, who lose even what they think they have. And in both cases, he said, be careful how you hear. So that the purpose of the Lord in telling us these things is not simply to fill our mind with conjecture or with answers, but rather to call upon us to respond to what he says. When he did the four soils, the last one we looked at, the four soils, it wasn't simply to tell the disciples, this is what you'll have as you minister. You'll have four kinds of hearers. That wasn't its reason for giving it. It wasn't just to say, well, there you have it. That's the way it is. Although sometimes in studying it, we analyze it in that way. But he was talking to people and he said, take heed how you hear. He's calling upon them. He's giving them challenge on being the right kind of hearer. And in this passage too, he has those same words, that he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 23, and this is Mark chapter 4, verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And we want to think of that with all the parables of the Lord. They were given to call people to believe, to receive. They were teachings that were urging people to come to him, because his ministry always was, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you take his ministry in all of its aspects and bring it down to what did he want the people to hear from him, it could be brought into three words, come unto me. He came to call men and women and boys and girls to himself. And so we look at his display as he shows it here. There are basically three kinds of parables we look at. I didn't mention that before. There are kingdom parables that tell us what the kingdom of God is. And then there are life parables that give you an idea how we're to live. And then there are gospel or eschatological parables. I think there's one especially of those that looks to the future. So rather than take all of the kingdom parables and do those, and then do all the others, the life parables, and then the eschatological one, it seems to do it, it's better to do it like Jesus did. Mix them up. And throughout the ministry, look at different aspects of what he wanted to say as he spoke these parables. The Bible says at one point, he didn't teach without a parable. Parables were very much a part of his teaching. And as we look at the 10 most important of them, may they speak to our hearts. They're like a poem, which God wants to get to us with a poem. Often it's a poem that reaches our heart. Jesus knew it was a story that reached our heart. It was a parable that reached our heart. And may he reach our hearts today as we look at this wonderful parable today. We're beginning this morning with, we're focusing this morning on verses 21 to 23. I wanted to make reference to what comes after because it connects so much with what else we've looked at. But let's look at Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 23. This is our special focus of attention this morning. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on the stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And the four divisions of our thoughts are basically, one, God has made us light. Secondly, light is not to be hidden. Thirdly, nothing will be hidden. And fourthly, let's take this seriously. So that's our focus, focusing on those verses and hearing the word of the Lord. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray that God will give us ears to hear. We do come to you, O Lord, thanking you for your ministry, for the wonderful truth that you bring. We thank you for the manner in which you brought it. You who made us knew what we needed to receive the truth as you desired to give it. And we pray you help us, Lord. Be ready to receive what you have for us today. Speak to us your way, Lord. Open our hearts. Make us to see. Impress us with your truth. Reach us as you're reaching out. And find in us a responding heart reaching out to you. Oh, Lord, do these things by your Spirit, we pray. We know that the word of God will fall to the ground unless it is sent forth by the Spirit. But you will accomplish the thing whereto you sent it. So accomplish it in our lives right now, Lord. Speak to us right now, everyone who's here. Speak to us and enable us that we might receive from you that which we can only get from you, even the light of life. Help us, we pray, and grant us your Holy Spirit to this end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point that is very clear here is that God has made us to be light. Now that brings us immediately to the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And it makes us to remember that it's Jesus who came into the world as the light. He said, "I am the light of the world." But he did speak to his disciples, not just the apostles, but the others. It was a multitude he spoke to in the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, "You are the light of the world." So though he came into the world as the light of the world, and he shone brilliantly as he lived in our midst, at one time even taking away the veil and allowing three to see him in his glory, he came in as the light of the world, yet only here for a short time shining. He intended us to continue to shine for him. And so he says to us, "You are the light of the world." God has made us light. That light was in the world when he was here, but when he left, he intended that we shine forth in our lives as well. If you're a Christian, you're here in order to shine. He spoke to us all, "You are the light of the world." His purpose in you is to shine forth his power, his glory, his wonder. We certainly won't in this life show forth his majesty. But there's a day coming when there's something of our glory that will show the glory of Jesus. Nevertheless, we show something of him today, before that great day, and as a Christian, we're here in order to shine for him. God wants to shine out from your countenance the joy and hope that only come from knowing Jesus. God wants to shine out from your actions, the way you treat people, what Jesus does in dealing with people. God wants to shine out from your life into the intellectual realm of men to declare to them the truth, that their own minds might be enlightened by God's wonderful truth. God wants you and me to demonstrate God's mercy in order to show something of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants us to do many hidden things, many secret things that are a display of the goodness of God. It's wonderful in the book of Matthew where he says, do your good works before men in such a way that they will see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. And doesn't that tell us that people aren't to know who did the good work? When a good thing happens, they're to look around, who did this? And no one knows. And so they praise God for it. That's the joy I've had many times in meeting somebody's need by being the messenger boy, bringing a gift to somebody from somebody. But they said, don't tell who it came from. And so I have the privilege of handing it and saying, I'm not allowed to tell you. And all that person can do is glorify God. What a blessing that is. We do secret things, random works of kindness, things that nobody knows who did this. And all they can do is thank God that it was done. Well, that's a part of our life is light. We don't have to call attention to ourselves. They'll see our good works and not glorify us. Glorify the Father in heaven. And I know I speak to people who do a lot of that. Many things you do that nobody sees that you did them. Sometimes I do say to those individuals, I'll mention, that what they're doing they're the things that if nobody did them, everyone would notice. But somebody doing them, nobody notices. And that's the case you've had before yourself. You've done things that if nobody does them, everyone will notice. But when you do them, nobody notices. Well, that's the kind of light that God wants us to shine, brightening everywhere. And people can see the goodness of God, the kindness of God in the very things that we do. Well, he calls us to be that kind of light in a dark world. And sometimes he puts people in a very dark place in order that light can shine forth in brightness. If this room were entirely dark, all the light blotted out, and I were to light one match. Amazing the brightness of that little match. And sometimes God's put his people in those places where they shine like that. They wouldn't be noticed if there were more light, but it's so dark that that light shines like a beacon. May God, in his mercy, make us that kind of light in this world, because he intends that we be the light. Doesn't intend for people, everyone, to know what you're doing, but to see what you're doing and give glory to God who's in heaven. Well, may the Lord help us to be that kind of light, because he does want us to be a light. It's no question in the world that he brought us into the world. He's saved us. He's opened our eyes. He's given us sight in order that we should shine. Well, that's true, but then that's the first point that I'm making. But the first statement he makes is, let it shine. I've gone to the other place because Jesus says, you are the light of the world. He's assuming that. He must have taught that enough that when he spoke it, people would know what he's saying. It must have been such a pattern in his speaking. As often as he saw crowds, as often as he called men to himself, he must have mentioned this so many times that at this point he can refer to it without saying it, because it seems that he does that. He said to them, do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on the stand? So he's demonstrating his purpose that we show forth his light. We are the light of the world. Did God bring us into the world to hide us? Do you bring a light into the world and then say you bring a lamp and sit down there and then pick a great wastebasket and put over it? Wouldn't that be ridiculous? To bring a light in and then cover it so it can't be seen? The purpose of light is to be seen. Well, that's the point he's making. What sense would it be? What goodness would there be? Might put a lamp there and cover it. Why would I do that? That's not what light is for. Well, that's what he's saying. Did God give you light? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? We talk and refer to the verse that God has opened our eyes to behold the glory of God. God who said light shall shine out of darkness has shined into our minds to reveal the glory of God in the face of Christ. Has he done that for you? Has God shone his light into your mind? If you are a born-again Christian, if you believe on Jesus, if you really believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you are born again by his Spirit, the only way you can see that is because God has shone light into your mind. Because that can be declared again and again to people, and they simply won't see it until God opens their eyes. Have you seen that? What a wonder it is. Don't take it for granted. And don't imagine, how could you imagine that it's your own brilliance that did that? When God does that, the person can't say, well, I was so smart, I saw. Now the devil will try to congratulate you on having seen the glory of who God is, and he'll try to puff you up in how wise you are, but wait a minute, anybody being honest says, I wouldn't have seen if God had not opened my eyes. And that's the case for you. Jesus said to Peter, blessed are you, Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Have you believed on Jesus? Has your heart been drawn to him? Have you wanted to know him and to love him and to draw near to him? Do you want to live for him? Well, praise God for that. God has given you light. He's given you that light in order to shine it forth. That's why he gave the light, to shine it forth. And it really has to a degree. Because you're not quite the person you used to be. I mean, maybe you were saved at a very early age, and the shining forth of that light is just a child's tender concern for the things of God, a child's tender conscience, a child's interest in Bible stories. It's a sign God's worked in the child. But it may be you have a much more dramatic picture because people knew you before you were saved. And even though you're not perfect now, and they can see it, they realize you're not what you once were. And you know you're not what you once were. Your life has changed. And it shines and it shows. People can see. Maybe your tongue has been changed. Maybe you used to actually use foul words. And your life, your mouth changed. It doesn't do that anymore. You may have taken the Lord's name in vain without even thinking. And now you don't, and if it comes out, you feel embarrassed. What's the difference? God's changed your heart. God's given you a desire to please him. Some things you used to do without even thinking about doing them. Now when you do them, you say, why do I keep doing that? And you want to change. And it shows. Although your sin still shows. And although your failures are still evident. And though people see an inconsistency between what you say you believe and how you really live. And people see it. Yet they see that that's not the whole you. There is a desire to serve God. That is light shining. It's there if you're a Christian. If it's not there, then one has to ask, did God bring light into your life and it doesn't show? Does anyone bring a light into the room and he doesn't intend the darkness to be dispelled? Would anybody bring a lamp into the room and put a wastebasket over it so you don't see it? Would anyone do that? Well, then has God done that? No, God intends that to show. In the light of your countenance as you find joy and peace in Christ. Or through the tears as you struggle and still can say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. There's a pouring forth of light from your life, and that's exactly as God intends it to be. And look what he says in verse 21. He says, do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on the stand. It is God's intention that it show forth. I know there are people that claim to be Christians, but they don't take a stand publicly, and they don't really let it be known. Well, I know I'm always trying to be encouraged at school when we deal with kids. Some of them, well, we think we see a tender heart. We think we see some response to the things of God. We think we see something that gives us some hope there's reality there. But how we long for that child to take a stand and to declare it. Because if there's light, it wasn't in order that it be hidden. Some kids do imagine that basically they know their heart and they are Christians, but their life doesn't show it at all. And we sometimes would like to shake them, at least awaken them, that if God's given light, it isn't to be hidden, but it's to be shown. And with all the difficulties of trying to stand for Jesus, that's why he saved you. Not that you might quietly believe and hide that reality and simply live quietly and happily yourself and hope to get out of the bad situation without being focused on. God didn't save you for that reason. He saved you in order for you to shine. And that's what Jesus is saying. It's necessary that you shine. That's the purpose for being alive in Christ. Light is not to be hidden. Be silly to light a lamp and put it under a bushel. You're Christian, you light in the Lord, then shine as children of the light. Jesus goes on to say, nothing will be hidden. Let's think of that for a second. He says, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. God means for nothing to be hidden. Now, what can he mean by that? Because we do so much hiding. We hide all the time. We are always hiding what we think of other people. Now, I know you can find good reasons for having to do some of these things, but we do it all the time. What do we really think of people? We hide what it is. We talk to them in one way, and we have a thought in our minds that's different. We've hidden what we really... Sometimes we come home and say what we thought, but we'd never say that to them. We hide all the time. It's a part of our nature. We hide what we really think of other people. We've noticed in some of the plays we've looked at, like Shakespeare plays, where something happens that always happens with people. You get three people talking together, and one of them leaves. The other two talk about the one that just left. Shakespeare catches it all the time in circumstances because it happens all the time in life. Three people talking. If you're with two other people talking and you leave, guess what they're going to be talking about when you leave? They talk about you. Would they say it? They'll probably say some things they wouldn't say if you were there, because they hide. And it's something everybody does. You hide what you really think. You also hide what you really think of God's word. Don't we all pretend just to be a lover of God's word that just is so delighted and pleased with it all the time? Would we want to tell people how much we read it? What time we spend in the Bible? We'd all like to act as though we've read the whole scriptures. And we'd say, well, I'm sure one time or another I've read everything. Well, have we read the whole scriptures? Genesis to Revelation? Have we? Well, we hide that fact. Tell kids it's valuable to read the Bible. Have we done it? What do we really think of the Bible? How much do we really use it? How much do we read it? We think about spiritual things, but we talk about the Bible being so important, and we rather hide how much we really spend in it. I mean, there's no reason to tell everybody, and people don't have to know, and there's a lot of things. I mean, you could argue why we hide, but the action is we often hide things. We're not transparent. That's just the way, sometimes you can't be. And what you know about yourself, even what I'm saying about transparency, I don't mean that you ought to tell everybody everything is going on in your mind. Everything that happens in your heart. I don't even say you should find a counselor and tell them everything. Not everything. No, they can't handle a lot of what that is, and what good would it do for them to know? You're only going to pollute their mind with the things you're battling with. No, there are times you don't share every single thing. We know that we don't. They will be shared one day. They're not now. God says they're all. Everything hidden is going to be made known. That's a thought, but you know there's a lot about you that you can't share with anybody now. Well, you can't trust them with that information, and besides that, they can't handle it. There may be things about you that if they knew that, they couldn't believe that you're genuine. They don't have that much faith. God's done such a remarkable work in your life that they couldn't know those other things. You have to say, there's a day coming. Hallelujah, there's a day coming when everything will be known. I long for that day. But no, I'm not suggesting that all about this is bad, but God does have an intention that everything be known, and that he is saying everything. There are secret thoughts that we have that would embarrass us to have them known. Everything's not known. We hide lots of things in our life. Are there things we know about ourselves that we're not going to publicize? Our plans for our life, we don't necessarily let people know. We might have a goal. You all have to deal with people who have a hidden agenda. They're talking to you one way and they have a plan. And you find out after a while that they had a plan to move you in a certain direction. But you don't know at the time you're talking to them what the secret agenda is. Well, that's something, many people have a secret agenda. Kids really have it. They want circumstance to go a certain way. They're learning how to get what they want. So they got a secret agenda as they relate to their parents and everybody, and they're doing one thing, trying to get what they want. Well, that kind of manipulation goes on all the time. It's the way the world goes around in that kind of a thing. Everybody's doing that kind of thing. They've got their secret agenda, they've got their open thing, and they're all hiding a great many things. It's the way we seem to have to live. Attitudes, responses, opinions, desires, secret acts, many things are hidden all the time. That's how we live. Sometimes it's good. But Jesus says everything. Well, look what it says. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. Light will conquer all. All that's hidden will be shown. And that is not a terrible thing. There's coming a day when the secrets of men's hearts will be revealed. The idle words that they've spoken will be answered for. All open. But when that comes, that it's all open, Jesus will have come. We will be entirely redeemed. We will be transformed. We will be everything God intended us to be. And people knowing all those things will only cause them not to think less of us, but to think more of Jesus. Look what he did. People don't praise God enough for the work that he's done in your life. If they knew more about it, they'd praise God more. They see a pretty good person with their act together pretty well and pretty kind and nice in the most places and never hear a bad word from that person. And they see all these wonderful things, but they don't realize what Jesus did to bring that about. They don't realize how much Jesus cleaned up before it got to what you see. And there's coming a day where they'll see something of that. In fact, all of it somehow. How will that be? I'm not sure how all that's going to work, but I know that God is able to make everything known. And everything is going to bring people to praise and glorify Jesus Christ, who worked in all those amazing circumstances to cleanse, to purify, to help, to strengthen, to enable, to accomplish things for his glory. And your life, with everything known, is going to be even more wonderful than it is right now. Granted that you can't trust everybody to know now. It isn't that day yet. It's not the day when all the other things are gone, all the sin in them is gone. And they're not going to think any the less of you because of all that. But they'll think all the more of Jesus Christ because of what he's done. So it'll be a wonderful day. Sometimes we think about it, we're a little afraid of that day. What do you mean, even that's going to be known? What, they're going to find out that was true? Well, I was saved, I'm changed, I don't do those things at all anymore. God has been very good, and I've been able to. They're going to have to know that. Those things, there'll come a time where we'll be glad for that, because they'll see the wonder of who Jesus is, and the glory of his forgiveness, and the amazing power of his blood to cleanse, and the amazing power of his Spirit to empower a life that is so contrary to our nature and making us so much a different person from what we would have been apart from his grace. And they'll see him and give him all the praise and all the glory and worship him. What a blessing it'll be that it'll all be known. All will be known, nothing hidden, when it can glorify and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Much is hidden now. At this point, it can't glorify and praise the Lord Jesus, except in your heart you can praise him. Paul doesn't tell us what the thorn in the flesh was. Don't you wonder? He only says thorn in the flesh. Doesn't tell you what. And of course, when you wonder about it, the thing you think it is probably the thing you're struggling most with. And you figure, well, he must have had something like this. But he doesn't tell us what the thorn in the flesh was. But that thorn in the flesh was a means whereby Paul praised Jesus Christ and glorified his great name. He knew what was wrong with him, but he praised Jesus Christ for forgiving him. And one day we'll know what people dealt with and what brought them to Christ and what transformed them and how they changed and what kind of a person they are now. And all the glory will go to Jesus, and not one less idea about you than they ever had. They won't think of you any the less. Actually, they'll admire you more probably. You cope with that and you glorify Jesus Christ. Praise be his name. That's a wonderful thing. It seems to be such a scary thing because right now it would be so bad. And it would so hinder your opportunities and mess you up so much with those things now. There's so much hiding. But there's a day when there won't be any. All will be light in the Lord. And that light exposing all darkness and yet praising and magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ himself. No more hiding. No more pretending. No more lying. No more playing games. Transparent honesty with God and every other person in the moral universe. Heaven is that. Among all the things that heaven is, it's transparent honesty before God and every other moral being. It's a world, and it's a world of love, where in that context we love one another with an undying love. What a wonderful place that is when we'll be there in God's presence. Well, Jesus knows about that. And what he offers here is a little hints, little pictures. This is a very little picture of all that when he says, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. Jesus knows all that he's talking about. We try to figure out what he's talking about. And when we get to the point of saying all those things have to be known, that doesn't sound good to us. But he knows the goodness of it. He knows what he's doing. He knew what he was doing when he came to earth. He realized that we weren't good. We didn't realize it. But he realized that we weren't good, not one of us. There's none righteous, no, not one. He knew that. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. He knew that. And he came knowing it was the case. He was the light of the world to change people, to open their eyes to see, to transform them. He came as the light of the world against all of this darkness. The world lost in the darkness of sin. And the light of the world is Jesus. And he came and he knew all about you. And knowing all about you, he loved you enough that he didn't want you to perish. And he was willing to take your sin upon himself and go to the cross. And one day you will praise him with unsinning heart. And that's a wonderful thing. We praise him now. But it hasn't begun to be as wonderful as it'll be when it's clear to everybody how great and glorious Jesus Christ is. Sometimes the thought of being known is scary. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Well, I just suggest at the end, the last thing that we're looking at in the passage is you and I need to take this seriously. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That's a little phrase that Jesus tacks on many places. One way or another, he says it. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. We need to take that seriously. How will it affect us if we do? Well, it really will affect us here below in remarkable ways. And that'll be all recorded too. Like, for instance, if you're right now involved in secret sin. I mean, it could be. I'm not taking shots from the pulpit. I don't know anything that nobody else knows about anybody here. So I'm talking to myself too. How do you take seriously the fact that everything will be known? Well, if you're living in secret sin, turn from it. Ask God for grace. Stop doing it before anybody finds out. Live for Christ. Change your heart. And then the testimony of the ages will be, he heard a message. He recognized the word of God. He believed and he changed, and look what happened. So it'll all be known, but have that part of your life known. The ugly part will be known. But have as a part of the picture the fact that there was a change and they decided even in that area to live for Jesus Christ. What a wonderful testimony when everything is known to have that part of the picture. It's like a movie that goes so far and at this point, inside and out, doesn't look that good. But there's a change. Well, that's what to do then. In light of the fact that all will be known, let this be known that you changed. That you abandoned that you came to Christ, that you asked his for help for even in that. and your life from then on changed. Make it so. If everything is going to be known, then one application would be, if you have a secret life, forsake it, so that the worst that can be said about you is, he used to be whatever. Well, that's one application, certainly, which should be powerful when we know the words of the Lord. If you have, another application, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, make it known. Are there those who have trusted in Jesus but never publicly confessed him? Can that happen in a place where people can gather for a long time in a church and some never publicly really take a stand? Yes, it can. Actually, if some people in that, and I'm not, I don't, again, I am not, I have nothing secret knowledge that I'm trying to make known to somebody. Look, if I believe that about you, I'm gonna feel the responsibility before God to come to you. Not to stand in the pulpit and take shots from a safe place. That would be dreadful. No, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, if you haven't taken a public stand for Christ, that's why we say at communion, we make that responsibility there. You need to take a public stand for him, because you ought not to take the communion, which is saying you are joined to Christ, and you've never taken a stand, you've never considered the issue of baptism, you've never publicly done anything about it, and yet you're... I mean, some people do. They take the communion because it's going by. Well, they ought not to. It's for those that have publicly taken a stand for Jesus. And so, if you haven't, and there can be such in our midst, then take a stand for Jesus. Commit your life publicly. Make it known. It wasn't intended to be hidden. Why are you hiding? Now, I say that not knowing, I don't know hearts, and I can't even imagine it being, frankly, I can't imagine it being true of any here. I know you do well. But I don't know who will listen to this. I don't know who will come across it. And the Word of God comes to say, if you're hiding, stop hiding. He didn't save you to have you hide it. It isn't intended. It's so clear. Who lights a lamp and puts it under a, we used to say bushel. I meant it like a bushel basket. Who lights a lamp and puts it under something? And if it's not declared, then declare it. That's an application of the things we're looking at. Say a third thing. If you know a way to make Christ known, make him known. Do it. Is there some way that you can make other people know of Christ? Well, then ask God, Lord, show me. How can I do that? When I was in New York, we used to buy lots of tracts. We weren't littering. But when we were in the subway going from one place to the other, we would put a tract across the, if there's not many people in the car, put a tract on the thing, and then sit down and read our newspaper. And watch the tract, and if anybody picked it up, pray for them. Well, you could do that. Something like that, you know. Make something available and pray that God will use it. Isn't that a way of being light? Now, I'm not sure we did everything the right way. When you're enthusiastic, you find ways to do things. You're not always right. But could you find something that would give you opportunity to make Christ known? Well, God did intend you to make Christ known. So think about it. Is there some way? Is there something you can do? Well, it's a good way of taking it seriously. If you know a way to make Christ known, do it. And work toward transparency. I think we all should do that. Work toward transparency. Relationships will be the more wonderful, the more transparent they can be. And you might have a friend with whom you can be completely honest. If you do, incidentally, if you do, don't imagine everybody does. Don't gloat about it or talk about friendship in a way that is sort of showing off. Not everybody has a friend you can be open with. I think of 7th and 8th graders again. Some key people, kids talk about having a best friend, and some sit there not having a best friend. As if everybody in the world has a best friend but me. Well, that isn't really the case. No, not many people have best friends. Best friends are rare, because they're people that are kindred spirits, that you can feel you understand each other. This is not common. It's not everybody has close friends. People can have different friends you're playing with for one reason or another, and you're showing off by being this group or that group. But I'm talking about people that really are transparent and honest and open, and you know them. Aren't many in this world. If you've got a friend like that, treasure that and work toward transparency and honesty, because it's wonderfully refreshing to the soul, and work in ways, whatever ways we can, to be less people that are than less the kind of people that are hiding all the time. May God give us a kind of outward testimony that is clear, a kind of life that it's no questions about where we stand. Something of that is where we're going to end up. May God help us, even by the things that he says, to at least work toward that and pray toward it in a world where all of us are hiding all the time. May God grant us grace to work toward a kind of transparency that we'll have when we get to glory. And may people see Jesus when they look at us. May God help that to be the case, because we're to be light. And your life is, insofar as you're able, to show the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be as perfect as he is. That's not going to happen. But if you, day by day, when you fail, are asking forgiveness and trying to do better, that's a tremendous testimony for Jesus. That shows light. If you think the light is going to be your being perfectly conformed to Christ's image and you're going to shine all out as a perfect example of someone who has become a Christian because you're so like Jesus in every way, you will have that one day. God will complete the work, and you will one day, to the extent of your being, entirely reflect Jesus in every aspect as far as you can do so. In your whole being, you can reflect Jesus perfectly. It will happen, but not here below. Not until the work is done. It doth yet not yet appear. Now we are children of God. It doesn't yet appear what we will be. But we know that when he comes, we will see him. We'll be like him, because we'll see him as he is. That is a hope. But the scripture says everybody that has that hope purifies themselves. So let's work to be more and more like the Lord Jesus. And in those areas where we fail, more and more someone trusting Jesus, who is trying to do the best they can, but when they fail, asking Christ for forgiveness and asking people for forgiveness. There's what we can do. There's coming a day where you won't have to ask forgiveness. That's not yet. Right now, a part of being light in the world is not just living a better life, but living a life that recognizes its sin and looks to Jesus for forgiveness. And when we're that kind of thing, we're light in the world, because the world is full of sin and doesn't know what to do with it. If we are an example of someone who is obviously has sin, but knows what to do with it, we are light in a dark world. So may God give us a vision for doing that because of the words that Jesus has said. And may God make us desire to be that kind of Christian that indeed is the light of the world. May the Lord help us then to take these things seriously. Desire to be this. May the Lord grant us grace by his Spirit to glorify his name. What would I say to a non-Christian? And again, I feel an obligation to talk to non-Christians, even though I know your faces. I'm not thinking secretly you are. But I do have an obligation as a preacher to speak to that, and you've got to confront that when you talk to people. What about a non-Christian? Well, may they hear the words of the Lord. Everything hidden will be made known. It will be made known in order to give glory to Jesus Christ. You can make known the glory of Christ by forgiveness and cleansing and change. Or you will make known the glory of Christ by being an example of his just punishment for sinners that deserve it. And everybody's life, everything will be known to demonstrate that. Either the amazing mercy of God or the frightening justice of God when he deals with unrepentant sin. And everything will be made known to that end. So you can challenge the unbeliever. It's not that you're not going to be known, and it's not that your relationship with Christ will be a secret. It will be made known. But it could be made known with those terrible words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Well, may the Lord encourage our hearts. Since everything's going to be made known, let's clean up our act as much as we can, but let's look to Jesus Christ and call upon him for forgiveness, that we might live a testimony for him, and in this way, be a light in the world. Well, let me read the text one more time, and then remember that, the one we've looked at especially, 1:21-23. He said to them, "Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to take those words as from you. If we have ears to hear, let us hear. Lord, work in us to that end, we pray. This kind of honesty can only come from the Spirit of God working in us. Work in us, we pray, and grant us grace, and help us to worship and bless your great name. And thank you for this wonderful way of describing that reality in speaking of the light and the wastebasket or the thing to hide in. Lord, may those things speak to us and help us to live in such a way as to desire to shine forth for you. Work in us in all these things, and the stray thoughts that we've had even during the consideration of it, would you make them fruitful in bringing us to the kind of life you want us to live? If there be any in our midst who have seen by all this that they don't even know Christ, bring them to yourself, we pray. We ask your blessing upon us, and we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.